You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Education is front and center at the Statehouse right now, especially with Governor Little making it his number one priority during his State of the State address earlier this week. Joining me live in studio to talk more about numerous programs that play into Idaho's education system is Mark Browning. He is the former Chief Communication and Legislative Officer for the State Board of Education and the current Vice President of Communication and Government Relations for the College of Western Idaho. Welcome back to the show, Mark.
Always good to be here. Thanks for having me.
So when it comes to education, I mean, you know your stuff. You've been around the block a time or two.
Oh, wow. You are very easily convinced, so I hope to live up to that.
Well, first, let's talk about Governor Little's State of the State and really making education a main priority in his address on Monday.
Yeah, it's, you know, education is, it's always the topic because it commands the biggest share of the budget, both on the K-12 side and the higher ed side. And really, education is the pivot point for your economy. If you do not have skilled, trained workers available at the time when industry needs them, you don't have an economy. So it's the pin that brings everything together. So it's no surprise to me that this governor and the governor before and governors prior have all said, education is my priority. It has to be, because if you want to grow the economy, which is part of your job, that's how you do it.
And we've seen that in the past, where we've seen big business coming in here wanting to, you know, move into whether it's the Treasure Valley, whether it's up north, the Coeur d'Alene area, and they pull out. And then, and the number one reason
can't
cited,
get workers.
We don't have workers
who are skilled and trained, or they don't have the ability now in today's economy to retrain those workers. For example, at CWI, and we're seeing this across the state, the portion of the business that we offer in non-credit retraining is growing every year, because businesses are saying, look, as far as education, we need retraining. So we need short-term, specialized, maybe a two-week course, a six-week course, whatever it might be. That's where businesses are really valuing education now, and it's changing. So where you and I might have looked at it and said, okay, I'm going to get an associate's degree in this, a bachelor's degree here, I'll work towards an advanced degree to do this. Now, those skills are and those foundations are still important, but what's really coming down to are micro certificates that say, okay, I can go 6 weeks here, 3 months here, and I can get this credential that's industry recognized, that's working in collaboration with education, that puts me in this path.
And during the governor's address, he focused, it seemed like, mainly on K through 12.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of programs and issues that play into education. So one of them is that what's called outcome-based funding, first off.
Rest in peace.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. So, let's talk about that.
Okay.
First.
So outcome-based funding or performance-based funding is something that either has been tried or is in practice in about 30 states across the country with varying degrees of success.
Mm-hmm.
What it does is, in principle, it says, okay, based on how many graduates you have go through, how many certificates, how many degrees you award, this is worth X in terms of a dollar amount towards your funding.
And we're talking about higher ed.
Higher education. It is to incentivize completion, because the goal is always the more people complete, the higher attainment of education they have, the better earnings they have over a lifetime, which increases and gets your economy in a better spot.
It goes back to the economy, like you said.
The disconnect is what happens is that you often see states that have some progression towards increased completion, but it doesn't necessarily meet the needs of what their industries are looking for at the time. This outcome-based funding effort had been addressed now. This was the fourth calendar year that folks at the State Board and the colleges and universities had been looking to doing something like that. At CWI, we looked at it. We said, that's fine, you know, because we can do X, Y, and Z, and, you know, this is how it will go. The disconnect is it's not always what business and industry is looking for. And because of all of the parameters that go with it that say, okay, maybe it's not an associate's degree that needs to be rewarded. Maybe it's a certificate in machining. Maybe it's a longer-term degree in nursing. Maybe it is engineering. Well, to specialize and to give it that much weight and structure often kills the program. And so results are varied. Indiana has probably had the best success with it. They've put hundreds of millions of dollars towards that. Completion has moved slightly. is one of those things where it's great in concept, but the details often end up doing just what it did here in Idaho, which is we're not the governor wasn't super sold, so he didn't recommend funding.
I'm speaking with Mark Browning. He's the former chief communications and legislative officer for the State Board of Education and the current vice president of communication and government relations for the College of Western Idaho. So speaking of the College of Western Idaho, let's talk about advanced opportunity programs for high school students, because this is that kind of dual credit concept. And you see a lot of this at CWI.
It's a very big part of what we do. So dual credit, and defined as you get both high school credit and college credit for a course that you take in your high school. Advanced opportunities has grown. And it really took off a couple of years ago when the legislature said, we're going to set aside $4,125 per student that is available for that student to take college-level courses, to take their SAT or the ACT or their Compass test, to get them college-ready and college-prepared, with the idea that if a student had 12, 15, 18, 30 credits, or even an associate's degree, they're more likely to persist on into higher education. Every year, we're seeing more and more students who complete their associates before they ever even graduate high school. They'll walk across our stage on a Saturday, and a week later, they'll get handed their high school diploma.
And it would seem that it makes that idea then of going on, continuing education, easier and affordable?
Absolutely. Now, as parents, we look at our boys and say, wow, that $65 a credit, which is an unbelievable deal and is being picked up by the state, that's money that our taxes are paying for, that they're handing that to us in terms of preparing for our boys' futures. The challenge becomes, are the students taking the right courses at the right time? Do they have an idea
of what they want to do?
And how will that put, how does that work sequentially for them into the future? So all that is continually worked on. It's one of the most successful things I think the state's ever done. Where we need to take it next is we need to integrate career technical education into those dual credits, so that a student who says, I want to go into machining, I want to go into nursing, I want to go into whatever the career technical field might be, welding, whatever it might be, they can take courses during their high school time that are college level, accredited, and approved, so that when they complete, they have that college level credential. That's the next step in iteration, I think, that's probably coming.
And let's talk a little bit more in depth about the career technical education programs, because this is something where I think sometimes people, when we talk about the go-on rate and we talk about going on to higher education, everyone seems to go down the path of, oh, you need a four-year degree.
Not always.
And not in this, and especially in this day and age.
Oh, my goodness, no. Yeah. And even the traditional careers where we've often thought that that's what you've got to have, those are changing. What employers are telling us now is it's not time to completion, it's time to competency. How soon can you get a student to a level of competency in whatever the arena might be? That's what they're looking at. And so programmatically, we're having to look at that and then look at, say, okay, where can we condense? Where can we amplify? Where can we, how much quicker can we move a student through to competency? And that requires us to really have a shift in thinking, but it really requires the accrediting agencies, who are essentially our licensure, to look at it differently, because it's very traditional perspective there. And it's like, well, you have to, a Carnegie credit hour, it requires you to physically spend so much time in a seat. But students learn differently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, both of your boys will learn differently from each other, and certainly different from my kids.
Right.
So how do we as an educational institution fragment and divide up the different ways that we deliver instruction so that it's accessible to all, affordable to all, and most of all, effective?
Well,
that's where the challenge comes.
That's the critical part, though, effective, because we can walk into any school in any city in this nation, and the exact same course will be being taught, and one child will understand it and one child will not. And it's not because the child that doesn't understand it isn't smart.
That's exactly right, Jim. And so, and think about the challenge as the classroom educator standing up there. And this has been a challenge for generations, right? You know, there's 25 or 30 or 40 of us sitting in the classroom, and you've got 40 different paces and terms of progression that are going on. How do you bring all those together under one umbrella to meet your outcomes? And that's where, when I say fragmentation, you know, our former business, we saw fragmentation all the time, right? All the different platforms that now messaging and information and news goes out on. education is the last major industry to really undergo this upheaval that's really like a revolution. And we're in the middle of the education revolution right now. So it is, for example, middle school biology. Mm-hmm. You and I probably sat in the classroom, me in Western Montana, and I had a teacher up there with a class, with a textbook on a chalkboard, drawing a picture of a cell and learning about cell division. Mm-hmm. Well, now there's augmented reality where they can project an actual cell right around me.
Oh, yeah.
And I can see the cell divide right in front of me. I can put my finger and push it and watch that cell move in all the layers of the cell, and I understand. So what studies are showing is that they're learning faster, they're retaining more knowledge, and at a faster rate. But we now have students, though, that say, I like and do better in the traditional model, so we've got to offer that. We've got some that want to go fully online, some that want to go blended, and some that want any combination. You know what? Today I want to go to class. Tomorrow I want to sit in my dorm room or in my mom's basement and take the class that way. So that's
as long as you're taking the class in your mom's basement.
That's right. The fragmentation.
Right.
So it's challenging. But I think advanced opportunities from the state, if there's one investment you can continue to make in education, make it there.
And before I let you go, I want to quickly ask you what the future of the Health Science Building Initiative looks like at College of Western Idaho. It barely failed on the November ballot.
Thanks for bringing that up.
I know.
Appreciate that.
I have to. It's my job.
You know, the honest answer is, Gemma, we don't know. We don't know. We've been down this path where we've looked at this traditional building, but the way things are changing, even within the last year to 6 months, we look at that and we say, okay, is that the right footprint? Mm. Is there a way to deliver the same amount of instruction in an effective way that we could do it with less of a footprint? And we're evaluating everything, talking daily with our partners in health education at St. Luke's, St. Al's, West Valley, Primary Health. So I don't have a good answer for you, to be straight. I just don't know what it looks like yet. We are reevaluating everything.
Well, I appreciate your time and talking about education. Yeah, I love having you in. My guest today, Mark Browning, he is the current Vice President of Communication and Government Relations for the College of Western Idaho. Thanks again, Mark.
My pleasure.